We're so glad to have you with us. Matt Smith here with Rob Williams. This is Four Quarter Friday, and we have got a lot of ground to cover. It seems we say that every week, but we really are enjoying bringing you these big name coaches, and we have got a big name that is joining us right off the top. Later on in the show, we're going to turn our attention to softball. It is softball and baseball season. We will get to the diamond in a little bit with Doug Fry, head coach for Gray Collegiate Softball. We've got the NFL draft to talk about. And speaking of the NFL draft, we have a former NFL player, former South Carolina Gamecock. It is a name you will know, the new head football coach for the AC Flora Falcons. Willie Alford is joining us here on Four Quarter Friday. Coach Alford, welcome to Four Quarter Friday. So glad to have you with us. So glad you're coaching in our state and not down there in Florida.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. Rob, good morning to you guys. And, I'm excited about this opportunity. Definitely ready to get spring ball going and see how we can, build a program.
Yeah, Coach, we will get to that. I've got to ask you, however, because people are going to, your name still resonates. You couldn't change your name. You were a player. You played in the NFL. And a few weeks ago, we were talking about the biggest thumpers in Gamecock football history. We failed to bring your name up the first time. We fixed that the next time. But looking back, the guys you played with and everything, can you give us a name that was a big-time physical player that you played with? And also, these guys that you coached at Lakewood High School and now are coaching at AC Flora, do they know you were a baller?
Probably not, because I'm so old at this moment. A lot of the kids that we coached now weren't even born when I played, so I'm pretty sure they don't know who I am. I'm probably what they call mid. Just before me at Carolina, there was a guy there, a safety named Tony Watkins, that I knew just from watching. He laid the lumber every week, every Saturday. I played with a guy in South Carolina named Shannon Wadley. He was my roommate. They called him the body bag, and they didn't call him the body bag for no reason. All right. This guy was laying some lumber. And so those are some of the guys that, that come to mind right now on the top of my head.
Coach O, good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Those names are kind of what got the conversation started, as we had Leon Bulwer on a few weeks ago, and then that Rock Hill conversation spiraled. I don't know who reminded them about Willie Alford that needed to be in that thumper conversation, but whoever it is might need a pat on the back. So as we look at your upcoming season at AC Flora, it's obviously new coaching staff, a new vision. Talk to us a little bit about what the potential is over in Forest Acres with the Falcons and what you're looking to do in year one.
Yeah, the potential is always going to be on the up. This is a great community, great school community. The resources are there. The kids at Flora actually play sports pretty much year round, man. And so the culture there is set. It's just our job to come in as a coaching staff and kind of rebrand the program. And take it in the direction that we want to go. We're going to, be a disciplined, academically accountable program. We're looking for a sustained success and not just, one-year results. And so how we do that every day is that we're going to implement the standards of just, structure and discipline. And, getting in there now, I'm just trying to kind of meet the kids where they are, some great kids there. The environment and the culture there is already kind of set for success, man. It's a blessing, really, to be coming into a situation to where, things are kind of already rolling. And so I'm excited about it.
Coach, I noticed that since you took this job, you have almost spoken exclusively about discipline and academics. So if you would take us through that a little bit, because I think a lot of people think, well, you made a living playing pro football, and how important is academics? But can you tell us how those things actually align? I mean, we were watching the NFL draft. Those aren't dummies. It's the guys who have their heads screwed on straight and are able to grasp concepts that are the ones that are able to continue to play level up, further college, then on into the NFL.
Yeah. So as a former player, the things that you do daily, the things you do when no one's watching, is the discipline portion of it that nobody really sees in terms of how to be successful, you know, in any professional sport or any collegiate sport. You know, the persons who sacrifice the most and do the right things on a day-to-day basis, those are the persons who tend to have the most success. And so I take that same principle, you know, from being a former player, you know, making it to the NFL, and I apply that to coaching, and I try to instill that in the young man that we lead on a daily basis. And so for me and my experiences, just as a former player, you know, the discipline aspect of it is what helped propel me to the level of success that I had. You know, I was a guy that was always doing the right things. I was in the weight room. I took coaching very well, and I understand it, the big picture. And so we try to instill the same things into the kids that we coach in today. And it's tried and true. You know, it's a simple process. You know, you do little things right, and the big things will add up for you.
You know,
and
Coach,
that's how it aligns with the program. That's how it aligns with what I do on a daily basis. And so that's just who I am naturally. And so it resonates with the persons, the kids that I lead.
You know, I want to take that a step further. You know, we can talk a little bit. You got two prospects in 2028 in Nas and Jeremiah, and I'll let you speak on kind of the roster or your personnel and that sort of thing that are going to get some attention. But before that, you talk about instilling these qualities in a man and kind of building this type of person. I got a picture here. Maybe you'll recognize this guy who you're bringing over with you to Flora. This is your son. What is it like to coach as a dad and to instill those qualities? How does that translate when you got your boy on the team?
And what's he doing on offense? It looks like he's lined up on offense there, Coach O. I know you don't like that.
Yeah, he plays receiver and he plays corner as well. Just first of all, just when you have the opportunity to coach your child, you know, I have three sons. I've at this point, I've coached all three of them. That's a blessing within itself, you know. But you know, instilling that discipline in your kid is a lot easier than to do to a kid who's not home with you every day. And I think, you know, Ziggy grew up around football his whole life. He's been on the sidelines. He's been the ball boy at Oceanside. You know, he's been on the long bus rides, wins or losses. And so he's been around football his entire life. And so I think my message, he already completely knows. And I think he will be a good addition to the locker room to help the other kids understand what the vision is and what we're looking for. But it's always a blessing, man. Every day I get to go to work and my son is right next to me, so I'm always excited about that opportunity.
That is a blessing, Coach. And I tell you something I want to ask you about, because you have talked about what you're trying to instill now in AC Flora, what you want to bring with you from Lakewood. Tell me about the staff, because that must have been interesting. Obviously, you grew up in Florida. You played here. You've now coached in the state of South Carolina. So tell us about putting together the right staff at AC Flora.
Yeah, that's the biggest component that you have to get aligned when you're taking over a new program, and particularly a program of this stature. I do believe, you know, I have the right persons around me, but that's something that, you know, was the immediate need. Like, who's staying, who's going? You love to have all the persons from the staff who was here last season, some really good coaches, very good coaches. Coach Flora did a great job during his era at AC Flora. And so, you know, I walked into a situation where we had really good coaches on the staff already. And so I try to retain as many of those guys as possible. But we ended up having to, you know, bring in some other guys. And I believe that I've assembled a really good veteran staff with a lot of experience. And I think that'll help our program move in a quicker trajectory a lot sooner than probably expected.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. When you look at this year, I want to ask this, and then I have a brief Lakewood question too. But when you look at this year, like you said, you're coming off of a good staff. You got some quality players here, like I mentioned before, not just the top name guys, but in Nasir Walker and Jeremiah McGowan, who are going to get a lot of attention as 2028 top prospects in the state. But when you look at this roster from a personnel standpoint, and you look at year one, what should be the expectation if you're a Florida Falcon fan? I know that your vision is sustained success, and it's not just about the immediate output, but how do you get these guys ready to go immediately?
Yeah, we're process-driven. We take the process-driven approach. Our goal right now is to win the region. And I think that's every team's goal right now is to win the region and get the seeding in the playoff that you want so you can go 1-0 in the tournament. I think we have enough pieces returning. I think we have enough pieces that are, coming into the fold. We lost a lot in the transfer portal, but we also gained some quality. And so once we put it all together, get through spring ball, lay the foundation of what we're planning to do, I think people will see that AC Florida is still a very, very, very competitive team and a team that you need to be worried about that if they're on your schedule.
Yeah, the thing I was going to ask, we talked about the NFL draft a little bit, and we've talked a lot about Florida here, but Brandon Cisse is expected to be drafted probably today, and as a Lakewood product and you coaching over there for some time, can you just speak a little bit about what it means to that community over in Sumter to have one of their own making it to the NFL in that way and a pretty early draft pick at that?
Yeah, I didn't actually coach Brandon at the time, but I've spent a significant amount of time with Brandon throughout my 3 years over in Sumter, man. And this kid is special. He gets it. He reminds me of myself when it comes to being that age and understanding football, understanding the big picture. He's very smart, very intelligent, and he has the athletic ability to play in the NFL for a long time. I mean, he runs well. He's very instinctive. He makes plays. And so I think, the school and the community on the south side of Sumter should be very proud that this young man is a product of that environment, and he's going to have his name called sometime today, hopefully. And so, but he'll play a long time in the league. Very, very, very smart kid. I'm always impressed with him. He asks questions. I try to be a mentor for him and help him through the process, because everything is, adversity is going to strike. You're going to get your name called, and then you're going to have rookie minicamp next week. And so, that's just the reality of it. You go from, playing on Saturdays and to playing on Sundays. And Sundays is the top of the chain. It's Sundays is a paid league. Little boys play on Saturdays, And so that process itself is a very difficult transition for a lot of guys. And so I just try to keep him encouraged. And, I'm here for him whenever he needs me. But I just think that the south side of Sumter should be very proud that he's a product of their community.
Yeah, this is head coach of AC Flora, Willie Alford. And, Coach, I want to talk to you about what you do schematically on defense. So, thinking back, you grow up, you go to University of South Carolina. You play in that system, and then you move on to the NFL, and you play for the Minnesota Vikings. So if you could take us through what you're picking up along the way from a schematic standpoint, like what you like about defenses, and then you look how, football changes, probably a little more pass happy than it's ever been, and then applying that to what you're going to do at AC Florida, you could, take us through the X's and O's a little bit of how you developed as a defensive mind.
Yeah, man. So coming in South Carolina, out of high school, I was a safety. And then I redshirted. And then my redshirt freshman year, of course, Wally Burnham actually had me move me down from safety to linebacker. So I played linebacker for a season in 98. And then Coach Oates comes in 99. They moved me back to safety. And so I'm behind Arturo Freeman and Ray Green, two all SEC safeties at the time. And then those guys graduate, and then Charlie Strong comes and they create the 3-3 stack defense. And so from there, I ended up being one of the original Spurs. And so my last two seasons, I was a Spur, which is a hybrid, rover, outside linebacker, safety type of guy. And so I had to learn throughout college that, the more you can do, the better. The more you know, the better. So I was able to pick up a lot of skills and learn the front side of defense at an early age playing linebacker. And then it wasn't until I got into the NFL where I really understood the back end, the safety aspect of it. And so I took all of that, all of those tools, and I've always been a student of the game. I've always studied. I've always watched film. I've always studied. And so just playing safety in the league and being around Mike Tomlin for a short time, I really, really, really picked up on some things defensively that kind of shaped and molded me into the defensive mind, the defensive coordinator that I've been for the past 10 to 12 years. And so with all that being said, defensively, what we try to do when you're teaching it to the kids is put a sound scheme together, make sure everything is sound, all right, and keep it simple for the kids. Keep it simple for them to read and react and play at a high level, all right? And then from there, you teach the intangibles in terms of forcing turnovers, not giving up big plays, and just, you know, giving great effort on every single down. And so everything that I learned over the years, I just kind of put it all in one pot, and I just spew it out and let it go.
Yeah, that's fascinating. See, you mentioned the name Mike Tomlin. Tell us a little bit more. Who else did you run across in the NFL, players or coaches that you kind of picked their brain along the way? I mean, Mike Tomlin's going to be doing TV. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine Mike Tomlin like having fun or wearing makeup, right? But okay, that's where he's going to be. But who else did you run across whose brain you really enjoyed picking?
Just from college, you know, Charlie Strong was our first defensive coordinator that you know, had our defense playing lights out. Guys like Chris Kosh were on that staff, who were excellent coordinators in their careers as well. And so the basis of everything they taught us was just the details, you know, the small things, the footwork, the hand placement, where your eye is supposed to be. And so I picked up that stuff from those guys. And then Mike Tomlin was a very, very, very detail-oriented coach. The little things, if it's a 45-degree angle, you need to take a 45-degree angle. If you're supposed to be in the high curl, you need to be at the top of your drop by this amount of seconds of time. And that's how, you know, when they came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Tampa 2, they were very successful because of the details, and the scheme was simple so the guys could play fast. And so that's the one of the main principles that I took away from him. And I played, you know, I've been around a ton of guys. Scott Linehan was an offensive coordinator, still coaching. I played for some older guys like 30-year coaches, and Willie Shaw, whose son was the head coach, David Shaw at Stanford for years. You know, so I've been around a lot of big football-minded persons. And that stuff is I've collected, taken it all in, and I kind of spew it out and still use a lot of those principles today. I mean, heck, I played for Lou Holtz, one of the biggest motivators ever, you know, in the sport. And so a lot of the stuff that I learned from him, you know, in terms of, you know, philosophy and how to set build a culture, you know, I still use today. And so, you know, it's just all about experiences and being around persons and really soaking up the game and learning the game and, you know, not having an ego or anything, just about learning for continuous growth.
Coach, let's take a look at that schedule if we can. I know, obviously, as you said, you're trying to set that culture right now, and I know it's going to be all about instilling that discipline across the offseason, but then eventually you're going to suit up and play. And you must have, you know, known a little bit about what AC Florida was going to have on the schedule when you took the position. So as you glance at that schedule, tell us what you see.
I see a very, very, very competitive non-region. You have White Knoll first out the block. Gilbert's always tough. Midland Valley's tough. And then you have Camden, who's Camden. They've been successful year in and year out. And then River Bluff, Perry Parks, his second season, they're going to be a lot better. They had a young football team last year. And then from there, you get into the region. And so from the region, at that point, you know, I think every school in our region is fairly similar, leading with, you know, us, AC Flora, Westwood, and Dreher. And then you got Coach Little John out there, Lugoff, Elgin, they're going to be great too. I mean, so our region will be very competitive as well. Our non-region will be tough, and then we'll have a tough region to see who comes out of there with the region championship. But our goal is definitely to be the region champion.
And how do you look in powder blue, Coach?
I look great. It feels great. It looks great. It feels great. AC Flora sounds good. Mentioning with my name.
Well, it'll be good to see you out there in it, Coach. And we appreciate you being with us, Coach Willie Offer, Coach O, here with us on Four Quarter Friday. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and we'll be following along with what's going on closely over there in Forest Acres.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm willing to come on anytime. So just let me know.
Appreciate it.
We will take Coach O up on that for sure. That is Willie Offord. Really excited about what it's going to look like there at AC Flora. And, you know, Rob, you've talked about it before. I don't know all of this on air or off air, but you can discuss it now. Just a great culture at AC Flora. I mean, a lot of good vibes coming out of there. Obviously, we had Andy Hallett on a couple of weeks ago. He picked up his 600th win. He's got seven state titles. They hire Willie Offord. Great community over there in Forest Acres. So just big time culture building there.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that community is kind of built for success. If I'm being honest, just spending some time over there. And kind of getting to know Coach Offord a little bit here in the past few months, it's really given me an opportunity to get to know him as a man and as a coach. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a glimpse what we just got to see into the vision and the detail that he brings to coaching the game. So I'm excited to see what he does over there. I do think, like you said, the culture of Forest Acres in that community can really get behind that school and push. And he mentioned too, like it's a strong community and there's a lot of resources. And so we know that in this day and age, that's also important. And so I think that will go a long way into helping not just take what he can do in terms of building the culture and implementing the X's and O's and putting the right staff in place. But in order to truly build a dominant program, everybody around the administration of the school, the people that are in the community that are coming out to support, everybody's got to get on board. The branding's got to be there and everything. And I think he's doing a great job to kind of kick the ball off the top of the hill there and grabbing everybody else along the way as they build momentum.
I agree with that. I think that's what you just said. I said, you know, they're building a big time culture, but the foundation is, how about the support? Are the parents involved? Is the administration in favor of what you're doing? And I think all those are yeses. Those are big yeses, big check marks. Absolutely. For AC Flora. All right, we'll take a break. Hey, we said we were going to talk about the NFL draft. Before we go to break, we'll at least mention it, but Monroe Freeling became the first Oceanside collegiate player drafted. So Sam Hartman's in the league, but it was Monroe Freeling who was selected. There he is at Oceanside Collegiate with the Landsharks, and he won a state championship there. And he left early to go to Georgia, so didn't play his senior year of basketball and missed out on winning a state championship in hoops, too, where he would have been a dual state champion. But there he is. Look at him. You see why Georgia wanted him. Big-time star there at Georgia and all the success they had. He was key, super athletic. They couldn't stop talking about his agility. His mom is a yoga instructor. They had the party there on Isle of Palms. He's living the life, right, Rob? You come from Isle of Palms, now you got to take the 3-hour trip up there to you go to Athens to win all those football games, and now you're just going to be 3 hours away in Charlotte.
Yeah, I listened to him talk a little bit after he was selected last night, and I think he was just kind of blown away. He did slide a little bit in terms of where he was projected to go in the first round, and so that was part of the conversation too. Of hey, I'm getting a little bit nervous here. But then gets the call and finds out that he gets to stay, as he put it, at home, as close to your home state as you can get when you're from South Carolina. So a lot of ties to Charlotte for him. His brother went to school in Charlotte. You know, he was excited about not being far from his teammates in Athens. So I think that it will be a good situation for Monroe Freeling. And I think that it's a good selection for the Carolina Panthers. This is not an NFL show, but when you talk about what do they need? I think they selected a position of need for sure, and he was one of the top prospects there.
Yeah, 6'7", 315. As you said, the Panthers certainly needed him. We'll talk more about this in our final segment coming up in the fourth quarter. Right now, we've got to get to a break because we've got softball coming up. Doug Fry, head coach for Gray Collegiate, and does he have a superstar on his hands? We'll talk to Coach Fry about all the success they're having at Gray Collegiate on the softball side of things when I come back with Rob Williams on Four Quarter Friday next.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app. Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
If you have experienced any sort of damage to your home or business, smoke, water, fire, or mold, visit RestaproSmidlandsSC.com. Proud supporters of South Carolina High School Athletics.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt D'Amadouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt D'Amadouros, we're on your team!
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Smith and Rob Williams are with you here. Great opening segment with Willie Alford, new head coach for AC Flora. He's moved on from Lakewood and now taking the job with the Falcons. We were talking about the culture they will build there. And yes, Willie Alford is the same guy that was patrolling the defensive backfield for those Lou Holtz defenses, those Lou Holtz, Charlie Strong defenses in the early part of the 2000s, same Willie Alford. And Rob, it's so funny that we got into a conversation about some of the best physical players a few weeks ago on Inside the Gamecocks, also on the Chief Sports Network. And it started because we were talking about Caden Watkins.
Correct.
And of course, Tony Watkins is his father, and he's one of the all-time, for those that remember Tony Watkins playing in the 90s, he's just one of the all-time big hitters in Gamecock history. And then I was bringing up Shannon Wadley, and more came up, and we kind of forgot about Willie Alford. And then we find out today Willie Alford was roommates with Shannon Wadley. That is if you're going to pull a prank on a dorm, you don't do it on Shannon Wadley and Willie Alford's room.
Yeah, probably the wrong space to rig up the water balloons or the shaving cream. That's for sure, because you're not going to get so Smitty, in a former life, I spent a lot of time working with middle and high school students where there would be trips, overnight trips, involved camps and whatnot. And I always told them, you do not prank me because I will prank you worse. I don't think that they would, if you prank Shannon Wadley and Willie Alford, that they would be coming back with the itching powder or the whoopee cushion. That would not be the retaliation. That would not be what you wanted necessarily.
No, I can't. Now, listen, it was great to talk to Willie Alford, and he was smiling throughout the interview, but you're right. His idea of a one-upper is not what I'd want to deal with, is not what, especially if Shannon Wadley was standing to his left. We're going to have Doug Fry, the head softball coach for Gray Collegiate. And I said what a star he has. He has an incredible star in Aspen Boulware. And we're going to talk all about that with Coach Fry in a few minutes. And, of course, that's another name, Boulware, that resonates in this state. Yes, Aspen Boulware's parents are Michael Boulware and Jessica Vanderlinden, who is in the Florida State Hall of Fame because of what she accomplished in softball, and she's undergoing a serious health issue right now. And I don't know if Coach Fry is going to be able to give us an update on that, but perhaps. But we do know Jessica Vanderlinden is undergoing a serious health issue, and everybody in that community is rallying around her. But Michael Boulware is, as I said, a name that just resonates. And Aspen Boulware is his daughter. She's got those genes from her mom and her dad and her uncle, and her brother's going to go play college football. So it's an incredible family, and we'll talk to Doug Fry about that. But let's swing back to the NFL draft for just a moment, because that was a good question, Rob, that you asked Willie Alford, getting his thoughts on Brandon Cisse, who's one of those guys that, even though he went to NC State coming out, he played at Lakewood, as you said, Lakewood High School in Sumter, and he's a star there, but coming out, he was just not highly recruited. Now, he did end up going to NC State, but you know, it was a lot of mid-major, what we group of five schools and everything that were recruiting Brandon Cisse. He plays at NC State, transfers to South Carolina, makes himself into an NFL prospect, and he is likely going to go tonight in the second round. So here's somebody that most of the Power Four teams did not really take seriously coming out of high school, but you fast forward 3.5 years and he's going to be taking money for playing in the NFL. And he's going in the second round. That's an incredible story for Brandon Cisse.
Yeah. And I kind of, you know, made mention of that because Lakewood and Crestwood too. And I'll mention them as well across the state, Smitty. I feel like if you don't live in that region, you know, the Sumter Gamecocks, because of the history there and the size of the school, and it's the county, and if nothing else, there's kind of it's a historic place in the state with being named for Thomas Sumter and all of that. And you have to, if you grow up in this state, learn those stories in elementary school. But there aren't necessarily stories in the history book that are going to lead you to know and understand Crestwood and Lakewood, which are the other two schools in Sumter County, but there are the same types of athletes coming out of those schools. I mean, as we look right now, Braden Bolts is a running back prospect in the class of 2029 at Crestwood that we're really keeping our eyes on as he continues to gain interest from schools. And so the same thing was kind of true with Brandon Cisse, just like you said, not maybe getting as much of a look. The crazy thing is, I talked to a coach a few weeks ago who's at a smaller – not necessarily small school, but kind of remote school, I'll say that, in South Carolina, head football coach. And he was just banging the drum for college coaches to come through all of these schools across the state of South Carolina because there's so much talent. And you can find guys that will help you at every level of the college game from the Power Four on down at high schools in South Carolina. And I just think it's really cool to see somebody like a Brandon at Lakewood, not at Sumter High, but from Lakewood making it, because that's something that that school can really be proud of.
I completely agree with that. I remember when DJ Moore was having all that success out of Broome. You know, exactly. Similarly, think Spartanburg County, and so often it's Dorman and Spartan High, and then so much of what's going on. Oh, and then there's Burns right there in Spartanburg County and Boiling Springs. And then you have some of the smaller schools, the Chapmans like Debo Samuel and the Brooms. And that look, as you said, they churn out talent as well. And I love to see that success. So Brandon Cisse, he's going to go tonight. It's possible Antonio Williams goes tonight as well. That's a former Dutch Fork star who went on to become a star at Clemson. Now, hampered by some injuries at Clemson, so the numbers didn't stack up over time, even though he was All-ACC as a part of the All-ACC freshman team. But anybody that's ever seen Antonio Williams play said, oh, that guy's reliable. He just has a knack for getting open. So I love his game, and I think it really translates to the NFL level as well. Adam Randall is likely going to go in the draft before it's all said and done. For those people, you know, obviously at Clemson, his story was he came in, big physical receiver. They had some receivers, and as time moved on, they said, well, maybe Adam Randall could be a running back. Now, he's perfect for Mickey Williams' system as a physical receiver, over 2,500 yards, 26 touchdowns rushing and receiving for Mickey Wilson at Myrtle Beach. But then he goes on to Clemson, so he shifts, and I think – I just feel like he's one of those guys, Rob, as again, nothing went wrong in his career at Clemson. He was still a great player there and helped them to an ACC championship, as did Antonio Williams. But to me, when Adam Randall out of Myrtle Beach gets to the NFL, he goes to one of those teams, maybe like the Chiefs or the Bills, that loves to throw to their backs out of the backfield and utilize that. I could see him really making an impact in the NFL somewhere. So he could be like a third rounder, but he's probably going to make a team because whoever comes after Adam Randall is going to know what they want to do with him when they get him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that his experience kind of gives him a little bit of that Swiss Army knife type of role there. The running back position, we don't have to talk about this, you know, ad nauseum, because I think that most football fans would know this, but for the sake of argument, they're a dime a dozen as it stands right now, right? And you see the Arizona Cardinals take a guy like Jeremiah Love at number three last night, which is becoming a trend again. And everybody still says, oh, this is unprecedented, and we don't see running backs taking this high. But in the past 5 years, you've had guys like Bijan Robinson and so on and so forth be taken by the Atlanta Falcons in the top 10 because they are just an insane skill set. As you work your way down in the draft, you're looking for value at that running back position. I think Adam Randall brings extreme value at that position because, like you said, he was a top receiver in the state coming out of high school. And so a team that is going to split him out, you want a guy who can be an every down back. I think Adam Randall is the type of guy that can be an every down back. He has put on enough weight where he can sustain the hits of first and second down. And you know you can split him out if you need to on a third down situation, or just run a route out of the backfield. So that's going to work really well. The Chiefs are somebody that stick out in my head, Smitty, like you kind of mentioned, that would be a really good fit in what they do from a system standpoint. But I'll be interested to see kind of where he goes and what happens there for sure.
And go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention on Antonio Williams as well, a guy who has, I think, just – slippery ability and is a technician when he's running routes. And you said it too, like a little bit hampered by injury there at Clemson and kept him off the field a little bit. But from all accounts, from the contacts that we have at Dutch Fork and at Clemson, just a phenomenal young man who is really, really hungry and ready to go get it. And I think that he becomes a little bit of a steal too because of the injury thing and not as much production after his early production at Clemson. You see him slide maybe a little bit. I think size is one of those types of things that can come into play here too. But it causes him to slide in the draft. I don't think it causes him to slide in production
when he that's exactly what I was going to say. Is he's one of those guys, I don't need the measurables because I've got all that film. I saw him play at Dutch Fork. And I saw him play, obviously, at Clemson all that time. And here's what I know about the guy. He sticks his foot in the ground and he gets open on third down. And we've seen that with Clemson receivers who's moved on and had success at the NFL level previously. So I like Antonio Williams at the next level. I like Adam Randall at the next level. Brandon Cisse, as you said, we were talking about all that experience or the history of Sumter churning out great athletes. And we know that he got good coaching defensively under Torian Gray, and South Carolina has a history of having success. Stephon Gilmore just retired with all those accolades, and give him his flowers for what he did at the next level. And just the list goes on and on. We had an NFL guy, Willie Alford, played safety in the NFL for four seasons on at the top of the show. So And he said Brandon Cisse is one of those guys that, like him, was a student of the game, and those guys usually stick. So I really like this class. And of course, we don't want to sleep on DeMonte Capehart, who finished his high school career at IMG Academy, but started at Hartsville. So he's part of the Red Foxes. And there's a guy, run stuffer, right there out of Clemson, who is likely going to go in the draft at some point. If not, he'd be one of those undrafted free agents. Somebody is going to use that body that DeMonte Capehart has and want to stick him in the middle of their defensive line and give him an opportunity to see what he can do stuffing the run game at the NFL level. So he's certainly going to be someone that we'll be talking about as well. So anyway, those are all athletes that came out of our state that right now are on those draft boards that are being discussed. I don't know about you, Rob, but I get goosebumps when I saw the way the NFL handled Monroe Freeling's draft party, and they throw the camera up. That's Isle of Palms. I mean, that background, it's a place we've, you know, I'm not saying everybody's been to Isle of Palms in our state, but we know that coastline. If you haven't, I've been to IOP many times because I used to live right there in Mount Pleasant, live right off the IOP connector. But that is just those clouds, those people, the fashions they were wearing. That was all IOP, right? It's like, that's our state, man, right there on television, getting the high fives and the hugs with his brother. As you said, he's got one brother who played at Oceanside Collegiate with him, played defensive back and running back, and Grayson Freeling. And then Tristan Freeling played at Queens. So when Monroe Freeling comes out of Oceanside Collegiate, ends up playing for the Carolina Panthers, Tristan's going to take him around town and show him all the cool restaurants and the hangouts. This is awesome. This is awesome. And I'm excited to see where Antonio Williams and Adam Randall and Brandon Cisse and DeMonte Capehart, where they land as well, because I just love seeing people that we know from schools that we cover. I think we need to think about this sometimes. You know, for $4, I got to see Kevin Garnett play at Malden High School.
Yeah.
When he played against them for $4. Now, I know, you know, those prices are going up, but whatever. For $10 or less, you could have gone to Dutch Fork anytime and seen Antonio Williams, seen Adam Randall making plays. For $10 or less, you can see the next generation of NFL players because they're on high school fields and diamonds and hardwood near you. And that is so cool for our state. You just have to find the right ones, and that's part of what we try to help you do here.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Smitty. I think that is the underrated element of living in this state and something that we need to ring the bell for more here on this platform is for all of you that are out there. And if you're watching this, you probably care, or maybe you've stumbled upon us. Let us have a moment of your time to just say, go and support these kids. Go support these programs because you will be rewarded with a quality experience in terms of what you're watching on the diamond, on the court, on the field. And these are going to be names that you will later get to say, I saw them win. And that's just a really, really cool story. And there's a lot of pride in this state. I look forward to seeing maybe some of the in-home parties that could be in this state with some of these guys later on today as well. You mentioned the coastline there, IOP. There may not be the outdoor shot if you're filming in.
No, give us an outdoor shot of Sumter. Come on, do it tonight for Brandon Cisse.
I would love it. I would love it. But maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe
right in front of the Air Force Base.
Maybe
give it to
ESPN
us.
doesn't love that as much as they love the IOP coastline, but we will. And that's the point of this show.
That's right.
That we will, and everybody watching and listening to us right now will love that because it represents South Carolina, and there's pride in being from this great state. We are not the secondary Carolina, as I heard someone put it earlier this week. There is so much to offer in this state beyond and from a lifestyle standpoint, and we know that because it's the fastest growing state by percentage in the country. But from a sports standpoint, there's just so much there. And I'm excited, Smitty, as we continue to cover this and talk about some of these prospects, whether it's on the football field or the basketball court or the diamond or wherever, the soccer pitch, wherever we're covering and watching, to see where these kids, these young men, these young women end up 5-10 years down the road.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, even though we were not going to get to have Doug Fry, the head coach for Gray Collegiate, join us live today, Let's talk about Aspen Bowlware a little bit. We'll do that when we come back because we talked about it. You want to see the next generation of stars? Aspen Bowlware is a star today. Aspen Bowlware is nationally recognized right now. Team USA happening right now. She plays for Gray Collegiate, and she is a major reason why they are undefeated and challenging for another state championship under Doug Fry. We'll talk about Aspen Bowlware when we come back. It's Matt Smith and Rob Williams on Four Quarter Friday.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night. Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
So I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed in the stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my pride. It's a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together. It's the color I bleed in the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching pride.
One of the biggest stars in our state is Aspen Bowlware, and she is playing right there in the Midlands for Gray Collegiate, and she's incredible. And we're going to have Doug Fry. We're going to get back to him, but there is a look at Aspen Bowlware. This is after her first home run of the season. I think she's got 22 on the year, but she does pretty much everything you could want to do. Now, listen, she's not alone. We should give all the credit to that is a team there at Gray Collegiate. But, Rob, I was so impressed when I was digging into Aspen Bowlware. Her quotes, the way that she seems, there she is. She's already committed to South Carolina. She's going to forego her senior season of high school and go ahead and enroll early at the University of South Carolina. They are doing a great job of building that program under Ashley Chastain. But Aspen Bowlware, Rob, tell us your reaction to her as well. If you didn't know, her father is Michael Bowlware, so that makes her Uncle Peter Bowlware. These are NFL studs. And her mother is Jessica Vanderlinden. There's Michael. Okay, that's her dad.
Look at that, man.
Those are bad dudes.
That's the athletic gene pool that she's pulling from.
That's right.
And I think that really shows, too, in addition to her softball prowess, is that you can just tell what an elite athlete she is. But as you said, she would say her favorite softball player of all time is her mom, Jessica Vanderlinden.
There is her mom in action. And we'll give you her numbers in a few minutes. But she's she's a legend in Tallahassee, a legend. Like, they have players that now come through and they say, oh, well, we did, you know, she's not going to be another Jessica Vanderlinden, but let's just hope she can contribute. I mean, that is hallowed ground. And as we said, her mom is undergoing serious health issues right now. We don't know much about it. And so we just know that that community is rallying around that family as Aspen continues to have a big final season at Gray Collegiate as they try to win another state championship under Doug Fry. But you just threw up that picture of Michael Boulware, another stud from our state. But, man, I mean, if you say, oh, 90s linebackers from Florida State, that's about as athletic as it gets. That is like, you want to throw, if you want to just throw a big parachute, a big blanket over, show me a good group of athletes. How about 90s Florida State linebackers? And Michael Boulware was one of the best there with Derrick Brooks.
No doubt about it. And when you look at that type of athleticism and drive, we just talked about this with Coach Offer a little bit. Like, when you have that high level experience of how to compete as an athlete at that level, I think that it does translate. And we talked a little bit about Ziggy and what he's doing with Coach Offord now at AC Flora. I think that those concepts, when you have Michael Boulware, Jessica Vanderlinden raising a daughter who has an elite gene pool to pull from, so you have athletically the physical makeup, but then I think it really shapes the mind, Smitty, and the drive and the will to get out there and compete and just love it and get after it. Because as we know, the great athletes and those that we continue to cover are not just good when they step on to the field or the diamond or the court. It's not just when the lights come on. It's every moment in between. I listened to Tom Brady last week. So, you know, there's a lot of guys in the NFL who want things to be easy Monday through Saturday, and they get into the game, and it's really, really hard. He said, I was lucky to be in an organization where it was really hard Monday through Saturday. And that didn't mean Sundays were easy, but they were fun. So I think that when you have that type of experience from a parent's standpoint, you really get to see how it impacts you. I will just make this note here about the team at Gray Collegiate. They're dominating, Smitty. They're undefeated first and foremost. And so we'll give them 23-0 on the season. But just this week, wins against Airport and South Aiken at 14-0 and 12-0 respectively. That's pretty much been the MO the entire
season. And they're 4A again this year. I know they're moving up to 5A.
That is correct.
This is going to be the final season for them playing softball at 4A.
Region 4, 4A.
Okay.
12-0 in that region. And if you just look across their schedule, most of these games are not close. There's a couple of games in here. Nation Ford, they beat them 5-4, or Gray Collegiate won that game 5-4. Indian Land was a 7-6 game. That's about 3-2 against North Augusta here earlier in April. But the rest of the schedule, you know, these are 3, 4, 5 run wins, and most of them, Smitty, are more than that. You got some 18-1s, some 11-1. Like I said, just this week, 14-0 and 12-0. And oh, by the way, last week, 15-2 over AC Flora and 14-0 over Brooklyn Casey. So just absolutely dominant in the way that they're playing the game of softball. So it's not just Aspen Boulware.
That's right.
I would make that comment as well. She did not pitch against Airport, but Cease, the pitcher against Airport.
I was going to say Mackenzie Cease is the name. Yeah, her career ERA is 0.92.
Yeah, she had that shutout 14-0 or 12-0 win against Airport earlier this week in a big region win. So they're just kind of mowing it down, Smitty. Just mowing it down in not just region play, but all year. So very impressive from Doug Fry, Aspen Boulware, and the rest of the Gray Collegiate softball team.
Yep. Absolutely. So we'll get that, and we'll continue to cover softball, and we'll come back. We'll swing back to baseball as they ramp up into the playoffs, and as softball gets into the playoffs, we'll do that. And I did get the note here on Jessica Vanderlinden as far as what kind of player she was. 2004 USA Softball Player of the Year. She was a two-way player, and she is considered the most complete player in Florida State softball history. She averaged hit over 400 as a hitter in 2003, 2004. So batted over 400 through 20 shutouts in her senior season and finished with 76 wins in the circle, as they call it. Incredible. And she went to the Women's College World Series 2002, 2004. She is in the Florida State Hall of Fame. And I just assume Michael Boulware, so this is Aspen Boulware's parents, I assume he's in the Florida State Hall of Fame as well. I mean, if he isn't already, he should be. And every Hall of Fame he can be a part of. And that is, as you said, the genetic lottery for Aspen Boulware. But give her credit, give Doug Fry credit, because she's getting it done in terms of just developing too. And she's already played on a national team where she starred for Team USA, the under 18. And that, again, is what the kind of thing that is happening inside our state. We've got to get out of here because Inside the Gamecocks is coming up next. All right, Rob, any last thoughts about the draft? We saw Monroe Freeling go last night from Oceanside Collegiate. And then we've got Brandon Cisse and Antonio Williams, Adam Randall, DeMonte Capehart, and perhaps others that are draftable tonight as well. But those are just ones that that jumped out at us that we remember playing high school football in the state. I mean, I think Cisse's going – I think if you watch the television tonight, you're going to see him come off tonight and give hugs to his family. I think he's coming off the board tonight.
I agree. And the one note that I would say, Smitty, is if you are not a draft guy or girl out there and you're not somebody who's going to sit around and watch these picks come in, the analysis of pick after pick, just make sure you're following us because we'll do it for you. And we will make sure that you know who is coming off the board from the great state of South Carolina and everything that you need to know about them and where they're headed and what their career was from a high school standpoint right here in South Carolina. So make sure that you're following us on X at Four Quarter SC, Instagram, Four Quarter Friday, Facebook, Four Quarter Friday. And of course, if you're not already subscribed on YouTube, make sure that you go ahead and hit that button for us. That is free. And that helps us to bring you more coverage from your community and your school.
Boy, question just hit me. And we don't have time to dissect it because we're going to go join Inside the Gamecocks. We want everybody to shift over to Inside the Gamecocks. And Rob and I are actually going to jump on there and give a little Gamecock coverage. But, man, a couple of Tigers. Who had the better high school football career, Antonio Williams or Adam Randall?
That's a great question.
We don't have time for it, but both studs, both absolute studs, and we're finalists for the Mr. Football Award. In their time. All right, that's it for us on Four Quarter Friday. Join us next week, 9 a.m. And as Rob said, just stay with us at Four Quarter SC. We'll keep you up to date on everybody, all the news in the world of high school athletics in the Palmetto State, including which of our homegrown players goes in the NFL draft this weekend. That's it for us. Inside the Gamecocks is next.